And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Just put it over there, okay?
Right. Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey friends, why not come down to Tenth of Beverly Hills for Valentine's Day? Bring your little lady or that special someone to enjoy a great steak dinner at Tenth of Beverly Hills. You get a tent free. Everybody in before 10 o'clock.
We're at Tess. We wanna put our meat in your mouth.
Ted Bell joins us. He sponsors this portion of the Phil Henry Show. The Martha Stewart case, I know, has been fascinating you and a lot of Americans. Martha Stewart, self-made woman. You said yourself, Ted, one of the most successful businesswomen in the history of this country. What is this case really about?
Well, to my way of thinking, and I don't think there's too many people going to disagree with this. Martha Stewart is learning something that I think a lot of us in business have had to learn, sometimes the hard way, sometimes the easy way, and that is, Phil, that disloyalty among your employees, no matter how good you treat them, no matter how you try to ensure that they're going to be on your side, disloyalty is something that can seriously damage a business to the tune of millions of dollars. And I think Martha Stewart is learning this, and there have been studies done, most notably done by Dr. Jackson at the University, I believe it was at Indiana State, on employee loyalty and how it has robbed American business of literally billions of dollars over the last several years. Martha Stewart's case is only the most, well-known of it.
So in Martha Stewart's case, what when you say employee disloyalty, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the breaking of confidences, the breaking of trusts, the talking behind the back, the going behind her back and reporting things, misinterpreting things, trying to get her in trouble with the SEC. Every businessman, no matter who he is, understands that, is certainly going to have his dealings with federal, with federal regulations. I have to adhere to federal food safety regulations. And you're always constantly trying to do your very best. You certainly don't need an employee who, because he's disgruntled, because he doesn't make enough money, because he doesn't like the color of your tie one morning, decides to go behind your back and, as I say, take a flint axe and put it right in the back of your neck. Now, there's an area just below the skull, the medulla oblongata. In my opinion, what this kid did to Martha Stewart is to take possibly a Bronze Age flint axe and bury it deep into the base of her skull. And I say that figuratively. But look at what this has done to her image and certainly what it could do to other business people. So we're studying it. We're trying to get a handle on it. There are things that I do in my business to ensure loyalty, but it's tough.
Ted Bell joins us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He is the CEO and owner of one of the most successful restaurants in America. When you say that you do things to ensure loyalty, you talk about something called the bottom line. Can you tell me what that is? Then we're going to give our phone number out and take some calls.
Certainly, Bill. Bottom line is something that I do with employees, and a lot of businesses are engaged in this. What I do with any employee when I first get them as an employee is I try a three-step approach. I try to see how loyal they are or how loyal they're going to be. It includes, in some instances, what we call the bottom line. In my business, like in most businesses, I'll give an example. We have an accountant. He's one of the top guys that I've ever known in my life. I call him a personal friend, Fred McHale. Fred is a graduate of the University of Virginia, but Fred comes from the South, or a part of the South, the Appalachians, and apparently comes from one of these very poor families, and he really struggled his way out. And he's a great guy, and I know his wife and his kids, and my relationship with Fred was cemented. There was a period of time I wanted to know whether or not he was with me. So I would, in his presence, I would make hillbilly jokes and about dumb Southerners. And I would really, I used a lot of the very crude jokes about, the old joke, if if you marry a woman in Alabama and you cross over to Georgia, is she still your sister? And all of these things. And I would say these, and I would watch him. And I looked for a twitch of the muscle, just a twitch of a finger, anything. But nothing. He took it like a man. And
so, are you insulting these people? Or?
No. What I'm trying to do is to find out, are they with me or are they not? We have, you know, Diane Trudy, who is my bartender.
Yeah.
Diane's African-American. And when she was with us first 2 weeks, you don't want to have to do this. You don't really, but you have to do something to ensure that what happened to Martha Stewart doesn't happen to you. And I made some off-color jokes, and I made some racial jokes about, you know, I don't know if you know the joke.
You're making black racial jokes?
When she first worked for us, yeah. Such as...
And you say they're off-color?
No, the sex jokes were, because she's a female, you know, the joke about, you know, if the doctor says, I'm impotent, and when you is impotent, you walk impotent. You know how the black, the traditional black way of talking? So this is the kind of thing. And when Martha Stewart's going through, what she's going through right now, Phil, I think should alarm all employers.
All right, Ted, that's a good place to break here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to a very experienced business owner and a very experienced entrepreneur, Ted Bell, about the Martha Stewart case. Does this portend bad things for all employers? Can you all expect to be betrayed by your employees? Can you expect to be litigated against and have one of your employees appear on the stand? What about employee loyalty? What has happened to it down through the years? And what do you think it is, Ted? And you're talking about, now you test your employees with a pretty, I would say, pretty stringent or very strong methods, racial jokes and this kind of thing. But you mentioned to me before we went on the air, you're afraid.
I'm absolutely afraid. I'm scared, Phil. I'm scared. I think I'm scared for all of us as business owners. What's happening with Martha Stewart right now can happen to any business owner. And I want to make sure that a kid that I take in, who I have given a very good paying job to, who I have entrusted in the case of Fred McHale with my books, in the case of Diane Trudy with a part of my business, and I turn around one day and they suddenly get jealous of the fact that I have a lot of money and they don't. Because that's at the bottom line of all of this. You have to understand something. I'm Ted Bell, and people know who I am and they want to be me, and this is something that I've had to kind of live with for a long time. You know, you can't be me. I'm Ted Bell. I'm me. And I said to a kid one day, he was one of my busboys. He said, "You, Mr. Bell, I'd like to be you." I said, "You can't be me. Where did you ever grow a pair big enough to think you could be me?" You see what I'm saying? And so that kind of puts the kid in his place, and it gets a reality check on what it's all. I said, "You want to be me? I'm Ted Bell."
Well, yeah, didn't that you say the kid be you?
I'm sorry?
Well, then you say to a young man with ambition, you say, well, try, go out and be you, huh?
Well, whatever you want to say to him is good. I don't know. But the arrogance of an employee to say, well, yeah, look, I'm rich. You're not. I built this business. You didn't. Martha Stewart built her business. This punk kid, Fanuel, didn't. He's an insignificant little broker's assistant. But seriously, Phil, Martha may lose her entire empire because of some kid who shanked her, and I can't let that happen to me. And that's why I do what I do, and it's harsh. And
all right, but in order to test employee loyalty, you are making racial
please qualify what you're saying.
Well, how?
Because I'm not doing this gratuitously. I'm doing it for a reason.
No, I understand that. You're not a racist. I understand that.
No, I am not. Please don't say that. Diane Trudy has worked for me. She's a top-notch black bartender, and there's nothing racial about me. And I've spent my life making sure that I adhere to all the equal opportunity standards. No, I have to do it to see if they can take it.
All right. Well, in the case of this young man, Fred, what is his name?
Fred McHale is my accountant.
All right. Now, he's a Southerner. He
came up a very hard way, was born and raised in Virginia. And so I make a lot of these, do you sleep with your sister jokes and all of this stuff. And a lot of guys can laugh at him, but when you keep it going, and I keep it up for about 3 weeks until it gets until you want to get sick of it, that's when you know. See, one joke is fine, two jokes, about 10 or 15 of them in a row, and you really, it starts to grate on you, and that's when I want to look them in the eye, and I want to see whether I got them or not. Hey, Fred. Yeah? You know, do you sleep with your sister? Or, you know, something like, and if he tightens up those jaw muscles, if he looks like he wants to pick something up off the desk, if he's tightening his hand around a pencil as if it's a, as if it's a steel shank made out on the yard in Clinton, I know I've got it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know that it is wise. I understand that a Martha Stewart, a Ted Bell, whoever, they need to know that their employees are loyal. In the case of Martha Stewart, she has this guy who used to work for her. He's now testifying against her. I understand needing to ensure loyalty. I don't know that you want to ensure loyalty to the point where you provoke or antagonize an employee, but I'm not a business owner. Ted's Beverly Hills is a great restaurant. Ted's talking about the people he hires, he will, you know, tell racial jokes. If they're black, he'll tell ethnic jokes. If they're a hillbilly or this kind of a thing, just to test their loyalty. 1-800-449-8686. Is employee disloyalty so bad that we have to go to these measures? 1-800-449-8686 is the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You got to put that stuff in the back.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Go on down to Ted's in Beverly Hills. Valentine's Day isn't too far off. Get away and take the same part. Bring her on down to Ted's in Beverly Hills. It's great, great eating at a reasonable price.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your.
All right, Ted Bell with us. Employee loyalty. Martha Stewart is learning that employees sometimes are disloyal to the point where they're going to get you in trouble, and you're talking about ensuring their loyalty.
Well, hold on for a minute. Let's be clear here. Martha Stewart has been proven guilty of anything. All we know is Martha Stewart got pushed over a chair. Her dress pushed above her.
Now, but Ted.
No, what Kobe Bryant did to that girl in that hotel room in Colorado is very similar to what's happened to Martha Stewart. She's an employee. This is what we do to our successful businesswomen. You know, Phil, I'm a feminist, and I have been for great many years. I believe in the rights of women. And I can't believe that more women aren't shocked at what's happening to Martha Stewart. I think it's because women have been beaten down so hard that they're afraid, they're scared to death, they're going to make their husbands angry. Well, my wife, I'm fortunate to say, isn't that kind of a woman at all. And again, Martha Stewart, I think, is somebody owes that woman an apology.
Well, there are questions as to where we get. Let me get to the phones, though, here. 1-800-449-8686. Dawn, go ahead. You're on the line with Ted Bell on The Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
I just want to say that I have been in the restaurant industry as a waitress for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And never has any of my employers done anything like that. That does not ensure loyalty, all that it does.
May I ask you how many different employers you've worked for, Dunn?
Seven.
Well, I think you understand where I'm coming from. Seven? I have white people that have been with me for 20 years. The same people. They have made their career at our restaurant in Beverly Hills, California. How do I ensure that kind of loyalty? I'll tell you how. I test my people, but once I know they're with me, this is their home, and they are my family.
By telling racial jokes?
You know, Phil, again, if you want to float from job to job like Dawn, that's fine. You can do that. I'm talking about people who want a home, a professional environment, and I tell a spook joke now and then, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
What do you mean a spook joke?
The one about the blacks. that's how Diane, a lot of my black employees, how I keep them. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, the thing is, I don't hop around jobs because I'm not loyal to the company. It's because my family moved.
Seven jobs in 10 years. I think there's, is there an alcohol abuse problem, or I'm not?
I seriously doubt it, as I'm only 23.
Okay, I don't know why you can't hold a job. I don't understand.
You know, you're degrading me, and I don't even work for you.
No,
so
I'm not degrading. Just I'm wondering why you don't hold a job. You're not a thief, right?
No, I'm not a thief. All I'm saying is that...
Are you married to a man who has problems? A lot of women who are married to men who've got drinking problems, they've got to take a waitress job because he can't hold a job.
No, my husband has worked at the same place for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And my children are fine.
Are they
There's
cared for during the day? Or do you
I beg your pardon?
Are your children cared for, or do you have to lock them in the home? And do you tie them to anything? Or?
What do you mean,
yes,
tie them?
Yes, I just take them to the wall. Yes, they're in daycare.
Well, I don't know what... The lady's not making any sense. Are you an unusually heavy? Do you have
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm asking, do you have a weight issue?
Why are you asking that?
No, what does it have to do? Do you need to make jokes?
I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't keep any girl on that's beginning to, you know, abuse the costume, abuse the cocktail dress. And I call it a serious abuse of the dress when you're making a mockery out of a gorgeous, thin cocktail dress by getting an ass on you.
Okay.
Because speaking of asses, you're kind of sounding like
have
one.
Have you ever been caught, you know, taking large containers of butter or soup?
All right, hold on. I want to know, Ted, when you talk about loyalty, okay, when do you go too far?
You have to test the loyalty. That young lady there is a waitress. Now, I know the type. It's what I call, they're the coffee and hash brown type, okay? Yeah, sure, I can open. Yeah, sure, I know the cash register. Yeah, sure, I know how to, you know, the bar. No. I'm looking for professional service people at Ted's Beverly Hills. And all you have to do, if you are a person of color, if you can handle, some fun black jokes, I want to see how you take it.
All right, what if a white guy? What about a white guy?
Well, there's something about anybody.
All right, 1-800-449-868. Here is an African-American gentleman, James. Go ahead, James.
Hi there, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
I feel that this gentleman's ways are antiquated and to...
Excuse me, are you a waiter?
To have racially insensitive remarks and culturally insensitive remarks is totally uncalled for, and particularly in this day and age.
Are you an employer, sir?
It's outdated.
Are you an employer?
Pardon me?
Are you an employer, sir? Do you...
No, I'm right now I'm a truck driver. I'm a retired pharmaceutical sales.
All right, so in other words, you don't really know my line of work.
Well, no.
Okay,
no,
so...
But this, the line of work has nothing to do about it.
Well, yes, it does. The point is,
I have been with the other employers that have tested employee loyalty by not engaging in confrontational remarks.
Well, can I say something at this particular juncture, Phil? I'm Ted Bell. Have you been to Beverly Hills, James? You know my restaurant?
I have not been to your restaurant.
All right. A lot of people want to be me. And I've often said it. It's kind of people, my employees know, I always say, people want to be me. And they get jealous of how much money I have.
Well, it's not a matter of how much money you make. It's a matter of respecting a person's feelings.
Like, would you call this bad if I said, what if you said to me, hey, Ted, I'd like to be you. I said, well, James, you can't. I'm white and you're black. See, that's a joke.
Well, I understand
that. You can never
be Ted
Bell.
First of all, I don't think a person wants to be like another individual at all.
When you look at a guy driving a Mercedes, when you look
at all with you, they're looking to make a living.
All right, James, thank you for your call, sir. We got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. Is Martha Stewart the victim of a disloyal employee? 1-800-449-8686. Bye.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The mop back there. Hey, everybody, come down to Ted's in Beverly Hills and bring your sweetheart at Valentine's Day. We've got the pork loin special. Now, bring the coupon in from the LA Times and you'll get half off on a Ted.
Ted Bell with us about employee loyalty, talking about Martha Stewart and what it takes to keep an employee loyal. And apparently you say she's the victim of employee disloyalty, and that's why she's in trouble. She didn't break a law or anything like that.
Well, I don't comment on the guilt or innocence. I don't know whether you or I are talking about the same thing here.
I guess I have a question as to whether this is really about an employee letting down or the employer.
No, this is a case. The Martha Stewart. Let me explain something to you and explain something to the people out there. Look, my name is Ted Bell. I built a restaurant up. My father had drunk the profits up. It was he almost ran into the ground. I'm Ted Bell. I built that restaurant up to what it is today. No one tells me how to run my business. Now, I'll give you an example. We have a waiter named Oscar. Oscar's been with me for 25 years. He was with my father as well. He's from Germany. He is schooled in the old school art of being a waiter. And I looked at him one day and I said, Oscar, would you ever stab me in the back the way this guy did Martha Stewart? And he said, no, Mr. Bell. I've worked for you for 25 years. I've been with your father. No, sir. And I looked at him and I said to him, Phil, well, I think you're a lying Nazi. And I leaned in and looked him in the face to see if it had any effect. And he looked ashen, and he walked away, and he continued waiting on tables for about a half an hour, and Jeannie, the hostess, came into my office. She said, Oscar quit. Now, what does that tell you? Eh?
What is it? This man was with you and your father for 25 years?
Absolutely. You see, what happens, Phil, is you finally scratch deep enough, and you find out they're backstabbing, backshanking, two-bit nose.
Is it possible a man quit because he was so profoundly insulted by being called a lying Nazi?
25 years. You know the stuff that my father used to say to him? You wouldn't believe it. My father used to say, hey, Himmler, come on over here and give me another drink. I mean, you wouldn't believe what my dad said to him. So the crowd gets upset with that? Come on.
All right, let me go over here to Bud. Bud, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Bud?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yes, I would like to know how a man that claims to be as successful as this gentleman does could make such a mistake between loyalty and kissing his well-groomed, pompous ass.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your accents a little bit. Could you say that again?
Yes, I can't understand how you could mistake loyalty for these group of people that you have around you.
Yes, sir.
And when it's so obvious that they're not loyal, you don't get loyalty right off the bat immediately. Loyalty is something that has to be developed and groomed and comes with time. It doesn't come at face value.
Well, that's
what
true.
You get at face value is ass-kissing, and that's what you seem to want to surround yourself with.
Well, I dare say ass-kissing. I mean, look, I don't kiss any ass. That's the only thing that's important to me.
I'm referring to your employees that you're so proud of that you claim to be that you're so convinced are loyal to you.
But I will tell you this, and I'm sure you'd agree with me. I don't know if you're a business owner, but you've got to agree with this. I'd rather drop my trousers and have somebody plant one on one or the other cheek than take a flint axe in my lower spine.
No, I'd rather have someone that would stand up and be a true loyal employee or a coworker or a friend. Not
okay.
A yes man. A yes man does. A group of yes people will provide no comfort at all.
I don't see the difference. I don't see the difference.
You don't see the difference between a guy that kisses ass, as Bud says, and someone who's loyal.
It's the same thing.
Oh,
okay?
No, it's not. It's completely different.
As long as they're not sticking a shank in my... Look, every day I walk into the restaurant, Jeannie has been with us for 7 years. She's my hostess. And I walk in, and I always say the same thing that I've been saying for 7 years every day. Hello, Jeannie, you cheap slut. And I go to my office, and she says, good morning, Mr. Bell. And you want to know something? It's become our way of saying, are you with me? Yes, sir, I am.
No.
Yes.
I don't know where you came up with the idea there, but you're going to find out.
Are you in butter? You business?
Awakening.
Yes, sir. Are you a business owner, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What business are you in?
I'm a trucker.
Well, let me tell you what. You get out to L.A. and you got a stake on me at Ted's of Beverly Hills, bud, because I like our truckers. I love our Teamsters. I love the great service that you do for us.
Okay, now that's what I call ass kissing.
You know what, Phil? I'm making a friend and a customer out of this man, and what you do is you turn it into something ugly.
Well, you're taking...
No, you haven't made a friend nor a customer out of me, my friend. I've never met you. I don't know anything about you.
You want to keep eating that roadkill? I'm not very impressed with. You want to eat the... Is they still got that steakhouse on the Loop outside of Atlanta, that one out there? I think it's out of the east end of the Loop out there, or the west end of the Loop. What's it in that steakhouse? Fantastic.
I don't care anything about getting a free steak on you. I can buy my own steaks. I don't need you to give me a free steak.
I'm talking about a good steak. That's something you're getting in a roadhouse with those video games. But anyway, you know, there's one catch, though, bud. I don't have Paps on tap. But I'm just kidding around. Come on in. I'll get you a tip.
Anyway, bud, thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449. You know, the man is very serious.
I understand he's serious, but I don't understand. What are you trying to say? He's going to understand Ted Bell? You don't understand Ted Bell with one phone call. It takes years to understand Ted Bell. My employees know this.
Every day you walk in and say to your hostess, "Hello, Jeannie, you cheap slut."
Yes.
And that's her. That's a wink, wink, and a nudge, nudge to say, "Hey, we're together."
You know, Phil, you can laugh at it, you can joke about it, but the fact is, it has worked for me for the last 8 years.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking about loyalty, employee loyalty, and why did it desert? Why did it desert Martha Stewart? Here is EW. EW, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I just don't agree with you with anything you said. I'm an employer.
Yes, sir.
I'm an African American employer. I have almost 50 women today.
Yes, sir.
And I would never insult anybody like that. Now, what I want you to do, Ted Bell, and thank you, you're full of yourself for sure. That's who you are. Nobody cares who you are. My point is this: you try the same type of a tactic on the people that patronize your place, and you go out of business.
Well, wait a minute. Why would I do that with the people that patronize my place? I have their money. What I don't have, see, they pay me money. What does my employee do for me, other than
they make you money?
Stand around staring at them. They make me money.
They make you money. You can't
they
wait. You can't make it by yourself.
They serve up the steak. I'll give you that.
They make you money. You need to be decent about it.
Look, this is not about race. If you have white employees,
I have white employees. I have Hispanic employees. I have Asian. I have black kind of employees.
If you
and
have
I
white,
never
I can
that.
Tell you some white jokes you can tell to the whiteies.
We don't need to go on that level. Why do you want to go to the garbage pan of your cesspool of your mind to try to insult people?
I'm talking one business person to another, and all you're doing is insulting me, sir. I told you I would give you top drawer white jokes, and you instead want to insult me.
What do you mean?
I heard you say a moment ago. You told me the black joke with this cocktail, the lady that runs your bar.
Yes, that's Diane.
And then you think she's supposed to take that? You know, I wouldn't take it for a second. No way in the world. I've educated myself. I've earned doctorate. I do all these things. I would not work. Nobody should put up that footage from you.
Well, with all due respect,
you're on the road for another Martha Stewart because somebody will remember how you mistreated them and insulted them before you arrested employees. And one of these days, you're going to get it back on the wrong side.
Well, with all due respect, BJ, I can assure you, you won't lose your business if you just tell a couple of cracker jokes and drop in the Ofe reference and move on. I mean.
The man doesn't want to do that, Mr. Bell. The man obviously conducts his business differently from you.
But I'm Ted Bell. That's the difference between... What's your name, BJ?
You're fooling yourself. Nobody cares. You keep on saying, I'm Ted Bell.
What?
Ted Bell. For what? I mean, treat people with dignity. They earn that. You said that guy was working with your dad been there 25 years,
yes.
And you call him a Nazi.
Oh, my God. That was a horrible... A 25-year employee, and you insulted that man?
That's ridiculous. No joke. Why would you want somebody to make jokes about you?
Well, I'm not.
No. Ted Bell, my foot. You don't mount anything. Nobody care about you. You can't just go out and suck people.
Hey, forgive me. Look, E.T., do you have any Chinese working for you?
Indeed, I do.
I got some Chinese jokes.
I don't want to do
it. That'll ride the wig right off of them.
You know how I make people loyal to me? I test them by giving them responsibility. I make them loyal by paying them proper. I test them by treating them fair and giving them a fair wage. I test them by giving them health insurance.
Do you have a Jewish accountant?
No, I don't have a Jewish accountant.
You should.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
There you go.
My accountant is Jewish.
See, now you are smart. So
what do you mean, do you have a Jewish accountant? For grudge, is everything boiled down to a racial stereotype with you, Mr. Bell?
Mr. Henry, right. Please remember you're talking to Ted Bell. Do you want to rephrase what you just said?
Does everything come down to a racial stereotype with you, Mr. Bell?
No.
Apparently it is.
I'm Ted Bell.
Who cares? I'm the world's sick and tired of you telling saying, I'm Ted Bell. Just like you said, I'm the president of the United States. I'm the president. Nobody cares.
Wait a second.
You've never heard of me.
You've never heard of me. Where do you live, sir?
I live out in West Covina.
All right, then you know, obviously, Ted's at Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Sir, I wouldn't come to your steakhouse if it's the last steakhouse. I don't eat steak anyway.
Oh, no, what? Oh, here we go. There's another rabbit. What are you, a vegetarian? Let me tell you something.
I eat fish and chicken and all that.
Well, all right, that's good. But, you know, you got to get that red meat. Otherwise, you're going to get a prostate about the size of a football. And you don't want to have that, okay? Now, look, I'm Ted Bell.
Oh, shut up. He's Ted Bell. Listen, EW, thank you very much.
Oh, it's EW. I thought it was BJ.
EW.
It's EW.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I was talking to somebody else.
Thank you very much, sir.
I hope you never do that. You cut that out.
Cut out what? I'm Ted. Don't tell me. I'm Ted Bell, E.T.
No,
I don't. What are you, S.T.E.? Okay. I forget your name now.
You take care.
Good luck with the Chinese.
Yeah.
Here's Patricia. Hi, Patricia. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
What's the man's name that called that woman a slut every day?
Yeah, are you talking to me, dear?
Yeah, what's your name?
My name's Ted Bell.
Mr. Ted Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been calling a woman, that woman, a slut every morning?
Well, it's an inside thing between me.
No. I asked you how long.
I don't know. It's been it's going on now a good 6 years.
And that woman has not slapped you across your silly face one morning?
You know why she doesn't do that, Patricia? Because she'd be fired. And if she got fired, she's never going
to
get another job as good as one with Ted Bell.
To be fired from you, that's a gift.
Wait a minute. You don't understand the business I'm in.
I don't have to understand no business.
Employee loyalty.
Mr. Bell.
What do you do for a living?
I don't have to understand no business just to know what I'm talking about right now.
You
cannot walk up to a woman, any woman, in the morning for 6 years.
What if I'm kidding? What if I'm joking?
For 5 days, for business days, and call her a slut?
What if I'm joking? What if I'm joking?
What if she does not take it as a joke?
But what if she does? Uh-huh, I got you on that one, didn't I?
How does she take it, Mr. Henry? Why don't you tell me? How does she take it?
She's still working for me, isn't she? And she hasn't slapped me? Yeah, thank you. Ooh, I'm sorry.
Because you're paying her.
You know something, Ted? You're really acting like a child.
You were talking about. That little boy over at Martha Stewart's office, right? He got paid, too.
That dirty little sycophant.
Patricia gets paid, right?
Look. What if you and I had a joke that every morning I would call you a sloppy cow? Huh?
We wouldn't have no joke.
Well, let's suppose I was only...
It's not funny, Mr. Bell.
What if I called you a sloppy cow and I was kidding? And I was only joking.
You don't know me to call me no sloppy cow, Mr. Bell.
Well, ma'am, you're right. You're right. I wouldn't know you because generally the people that load at the dock, I never meet them. But I can tell you.
Okay, look at Ted. The guy is, he's a real...
It's all right. You know what? It's all right. All I have to say is...
You know, I'm getting busy in here, Patricia. I don't know what to tell you.
Say it again, Patricia. Martha Stewart is that any employee who gets
a table
like that boy does...
Get all the Mexicans out of the back and get them over to table six.
Would you mind saying that again, Patricia? Because the restaurant was loud.
What's going on over where you are?
Mr. Bell is in his restaurant.
We are in the middle of our dinner service, Patricia. Excuse me for being successful. Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. Todd, are you going to sit on a show and you're playing tennis?
Hey, Patricia, I think I can hear the ding-ding. Somebody must have shirts for you to starch.
You're not even funny right now, so I know you're not funny at your... place of business. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
All right, okay.
Right?
I'm
saying the boy
yeah.
Martha Stewart.
Ted, are you there?
She treated him like that. He deserved to be fired. I mean, he deserved to have her at her back.
Big tall scotch, huh?
What is this man doing?
He's in his restaurant working right now.
Oh, that's...
I asked the lady to quit her yapping on the phone. It's, Patricia...
I should come down there and tell all you.
No, what I'd like you to do is start busting table five.
If people protesting Jared tomorrow ought to come protest your restaurant. I can't believe you have customers in there eating your food.
Yeah. Johnny Walker Black for him. What do you want, red? Johnny Walker Red for him.
Well, that's the problem. He's a drunk.
Hey, Patricia, get on down here.
All that liquor he's ordering.
I got a whole lot of dishes for you to wash.
All right, see you later, Ted.
You're not hanging up on me. You're hanging up on her. You're hanging up on that sloppy ass.
I hung up on him.
Good. He deserved to be hung up on. He doesn't make any sense to me. How is he going to call that woman a slut every day? And this man still has, you know, is able to have children? I would have socked him so hard.
Oh, I see. You're saying if a man had called you that,
I'm
he would be unable to have children.
If you get disrespected over and over,
yes.
You need to let that person know it is not okay to disrespect you like that. You have to let them know. And this man sounds like he needs to be hurt to understand something.
Can I just ask, is this Mrs. John Kerry? Because I need to
get him out of here. Get him out of here. He's an idiot. All right, Patricia, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm sorry. I have to apologize to my audience. I will not be, and I want to just repeat, I will not be at the Yeah Baby Expo on Saturday. I wanted to. I told you I was going to be there at 12:30, and then the people at Yeah Baby came back and said, you know what, we need to change that to 11:30. And I said, well, you know, I've been telling my audience for 2 solid weeks, 12:30, and you don't understand how audiences kind of get that locked in their head, and I need to be there at 12:30. Oh, well, no, well, you know what, we have other people, so we have to move you around. And I said, is that right? Well, then, have fun, baby. So I'm awfully sorry, guys, but I'm not going to be there because I'd rather, you know, keep my word to you that I'd be there at 12:30 than have to have my ass moved around because they signed up some soap opera star from some bad NBC show. However, have fun at the Yeah Baby Expo, okay? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
I wanted to ask this question yesterday. I didn't get to it. I'm going to get to it today. I want to ask you, as long as we're debating constitutional amendments, you know, they want to have a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. I really don't know whether that's necessary. And they've had the constitutional amendment propositions for equal rights for women, etc. I want to know whether we can get a constitutional amendment that would make it legal for police to torture anybody who had that they really believed had information about you know, saving someone's life. In other words, this little girl that's missing. See, anytime anybody's kidnapped, you have to assume, if you're a cop, you got to assume it's just seconds, if not sooner, that they're going to die. So what do? Now you got this walking piece of crap that they picked up, this Jimmy, whatever the hell his name is, this thug. This guy's got all this freaking jail ugly on him, which I guess that makes him a badass. But, you know, I think there's enough of those cops there that, say, a pair of pruning shears, some pliers. My main man, Ving Rhames there in Pulp Fiction. Blowtorch and a pair of pliers. Get medieval on his ass. You think I'm kidding, and I'm not. If somebody's life is in imminent danger, why shouldn't a police officer be allowed to torture someone to get the information out of them as to where that person is? Come on. Hit me with your best shot on that one, baby. Because there ain't no answer. A little girl could die. Some sick freak has done something with her. You have to assume that she's in the imminent threat of losing her life. Why couldn't it be legal in that instance, with the approval of a judge, get him up in the middle of the night if you have to, get him to sign the document, this guy we believe is the perpetrator, he knows where this child is, we have no idea her well-being, we've got to get information, Your Honor, okay, it's now legal, torture him, and go down to Do It Center, because they got a deal on pruning shears. Thank you, Your Honor. All right, boom. And then you make the move, baby. You make the move, huh? This is how you get society to work. Boom, 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 boom. You get a deal for wiretaps when it's okay to violate, for instance, the constitutional amendment, which says you are secure in your papers. Of course you should be secure in your papers, but every now and again you've got to get a court order to supersede that, where one has to, one may need a wiretap, where you are no longer secure in your personal effects. They are listening in on your conversations. Why not a court order that supersedes the prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment or police torture? See, there is no answer. I'm not even going to entertain any phone calls on it. I've just decided. Never mind, Chris. Doesn't matter. You know, there's no answer to this. Nobody's going to sit there and tell me, I realize what you're saying is true, but by the same token, Mr. Hendry, we have to be... shut up. Little kid. Meanwhile, what do they know? They're still talking about Janet Jackson? We got a kid out there someplace. Ah, who cares, right? She's dead. Isn't she? Isn't that right? Look at this. Here comes some brain surgeon calling in. The countries we fight against. I'm talking about a child at... Okay, let me talk to this guy. Robert?
Yeah, how's it going?
Okay, so you'd let a kid die?
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, no, come on. You'd let a kid die?
Well, has the guy been convicted?
Wait a second.
Isn't the guy innocent?
Wait a second. Sure? The police believe that this man is the perpetrator and has information, and he's not talking. You got a little girl who's missing. She could be in imminent danger of losing her life. Why shouldn't we be allowed to torture the information out of him?
I just thought this is America. We don't torture people here.
Come on, man. Let's get real. Your kid. Go ahead. I'll say it. Your kid. Your daughter's gone. I don't know if you have any kids. And that piece of crap sitting in that chair knows where she is. And he won't say anything on the advice of his public defender. What would you do? Get on your hands and knees and beg him? Plead with him? Cry?
Okay, you convinced me.
All right, thanks. Call up the Phil Hendry Show and be convinced at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm not saying in every case. I'm saying you get a court order. The same way you get a court order for a wiretap. The same way you get a court order for whatever the hell else you get a court order for. Get a freaking court order so you can go down to the Do It Center and pick up some, some ant killer and some Drano. I'd like a court order, Your Honor. I want to get some lawnmower blade. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. No, but he ain't going to say nothing because he's got his rights, see? Meanwhile, let's face it, and I hope the woman isn't listening, but you know what, I gotta say it, and you all are thinking the same thing. The kid's gone. She's gone for it. She's dead. You wanna know why? Because only seconds truly separate life from death in this situation. I learned about it the hard way when I was down in Miami. I got involved with the Rice family when their little boy was abducted, and we raised money for the Jimmy Rice Foundation. And the fact of the matter is, Claudine Rice, his mother, found through her research after she lost her son that within hours the kids are dead. Literally within 3 to 4 hours, dead. Very rare exceptions. Yes, you're right. So it's very important to get as much information as you can and get as much information out to the public as you can as fast as you can, see? Now, if you got this perpetrator, and this guy you believe is the one, and the cops say they like this guy for this, this is the guy. Tell us where she is. Oh, I'm not talking. Well, you're not going to talk. How about if I take one of your eyeballs out? Do you think you'll talk then? See, there's no way in the world that you can argue against that. There is no argument you've got. No argument that, and when I say you, I don't mean you, guy. There's no argument, just the general you, all of us, I should say. There's no way we can argue against it. When the life of a human being lies in the lurch, when a person could die, we ought to be allowed, the police ought to be allowed to take a steel pipe and beat it out of the guy if they have to. And there's just no argument against it. None whatsoever. Any argument that anybody would offer would be a lot of intellectual masturbation. The Constitution expressly forbids, and we fight countries that are against this. Meanwhile, a child suffocates, strangles slowly, dies of starvation, or is being slowly tortured. Did you ever hear the tape? I never heard the tapes, but do you know that they just convicted a couple of real pieces of walking trash back in Britain that tortured little kids while they played Christmas records? Are you ready for that? Can you believe that? And they had the tapes. These animals taped it. But you see people, well, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty, and he's this and he's that and he's something else. This is a life and death thing. Who wouldn't call an ambulance? Who wouldn't call an emergency room and try to get as much help as possible if you had someone lying bleeding on the floor? Who wouldn't call the police if you felt that someone was in imminent danger? What police officer wouldn't kick open a door and enter a residence or a building if they thought that someone was in danger or if they thought a serious crime was being committed, right? In other words, if it's a matter of life and death, all of the mental masturbation goes out the window and you've got to face the facts, baby. You've got to save a life. So I'm not talking about just any old time. I'm saying, Your Honor, we feel it's necessary. We got to get you to sign a paper that says it's all right. We take a piece of piano wire to this guy and hang him from a ceiling for a couple of minutes just to see if he can get his memory going. What do you think, Your Honor?
Well, I guess it's all right. I've got a golf day to the bar.
Thank you, Your Honor. And all the other talk about innocent until proven guilty is all just a lot of claptrap. You know, that we all indulge in because we have the time and that we live in a society where we can do that. We live in a society where we can sit there and intellectualize about the propriety of certain things, right? And I understand that the law is dry-eyed, and I'm talking about dry-eyed. Like I said, if somebody is going to die, you've got no choice. You have to, at that point, allow for police torture. Police coercion. Call it police coercion. Call it coercive interrogation. Call it anything you want. But going beyond what is legally what the police are legally allowed to do now. Okay? Maybe they could have saved this kid's life. I don't think she, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think she's around anymore because the piece of crap's been in custody since Tuesday and he ain't talking and the cops can't do anything about it. See, because he's got a lawyer sitting there. And the police believe this is the guy. See? So, a little girl is allowed to die so that what? This guy's rights are protected? Is that what I'm... So that we can play at pretending he's innocent? Is that what we can do? So that we can... The little girl dies so we can all feel good about ourselves and our constitutional process? I'm not saying. I'm just asking. What if we created... What if we created the law that allowed this? See? But forget it, man. You know, there's no argument against it. It'll never happen because we can't bring ourselves to, you know, we can't bring ourselves to reconcile these things. The idea of torture and the saving of a life. In our minds, torture is something that, you know, belonged in the pre-colonial times. It's something that America's not about. It's something we would never do. We've never in our wildest dreams ever imagined that torture could be used to actually try to save someone's life. But because we're Americans frozen in our, you know, like I say, our intellectual laziness, we'll just go ahead and go with the party line, which is you're innocent until proven guilty. And if a kid dies and maybe dies slowly and horribly, we're all going to sleep better tonight knowing that our Constitution was protected. I ain't saying violate the Constitution. I said a constitutional amendment. All right. Now I feel better about myself. I hope you do, too. Not about you. I hope you feel better about me. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Tonight on the Phil Henry Show, we got a Bud Dickman is going to be talking to us about, do we have news that pro hockey players can understand tonight? And also, the NASCAR's most rad accidents returns on Monday, so Bud will be teasing that. Bobby Dooley will pay a very special visit to us to sing her theme, so the song she's going to be singing at this year's Western Estates Wintertacular. I can't wait for this. Also, there's a resume, a George Bush resume going around on the internet that I guess is funny, I don't know. And I'll read it to you, and then we'll comment on that. Steve Bozell is now in Snopes.com. They're still circulating this, you know, Steve Bozell lawsuit. And we're going to start a new feature on the show. You know that saying, life imitates art? Okay, the new saying is how life imitates the Phil Henry Show. Because all of this stuff, man, is like they're bits right out of our show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yesterday, Bobby Dooley joined us. As a matter of fact, Bobby's on the line right now, and we're going to listen to a flashback from you from yesterday's show, Bobby.
Oh, is this the about Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
I want to hear what I said, because some people were telling me they heard me.
Yeah. Well, this is when you said that Justin Timberlake shouldn't be punished for having raging hormones and wanting to rip the blouse off a woman, because your son Seth did it to a 70-year-old woman in her home, a woman that he was hired to wash windows for.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Why do you think that your son should be able to rip off a woman's blouse, a 70-year-old woman's blouse? I mean, don't you think your son should have to control his hormones? You say he's got these... He's at the mercy of his raging hormones. Don't you think that he should have to control his raging hormones?
You know, Alicia, I don't know how well you understand men, but they are, especially young men, are going through a very difficult time. All he wanted was to get a look.
I mean, if you think that's the way it should be, then you need to buy your son a porno magazine.
Well, no, but
you
the magazine
doesn't
get it done. You
don't need to be taking advantage of 70-year-old women.
Magazines, you obviously have the ability to see, but not really the sensory involvement. So,
well, then we're not just talking about getting a look. We're talking about putting his hands on her.
You're forgetting about that women have rights, too.
Well, you know, Alicia, just between you and me, I think as women, we've been heard from long enough about this. It's getting a little tiring. I think the guys need to be heard a little bit here.
Oh, that's disgusting that you feel that way.
No,
it really is.
Listen to me.
And the fact that you bend over and let your sons...
You know something? I'm not embarrassed.
Your son and his friends see your bottom.
Well, you know what? I'm not embarrassed that young...
Disgusting.
I'm not embarrassed that men find me attractive.
Have you seen how many people have sexually transmitted diseases?
You know, Alicia...
I can't believe you're actually sitting here saying that.
You know, Alicia, I keep myself clean. I don't know what you're referring to. Are you talking about third world?
I'm saying the frigidity rate of women. I think women are more and more and more... I don't know if you know this, but in high school now, girls do not see giving oral sex as a sexual encounter with a male. So
you know,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Alicia, what's happening there is our girls are giving the guys a little bit of a break. They're loosening up a little bit.
Now, wait just a minute. I want to jump in here.
Yeah.
I got a 12-year-old daughter, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want any idea going out to that girl that giving a guy oral sex is like shaking his hand.
That is
okay?
Disgusting.
You know what, guys? I don't know what to tell you. I've got a lot of young people that come to our house. My sons, I'm very with it. As a mother, I listen to Good Charlotte. I hear what the boys are saying.
I don't care what you think. What do you mean you listen to Good Charlotte? I'm talking about my daughter giving oral sex to a guy.
Can I just talk to Alicia? Are you saying that you have...
about what's going on over at your house.
No,
to be investigated.
No, I'm fine, but I'm... Are you saying you have chlamydia, or what are you saying?
Oh, my God! No, that's not what I said.
What did you say?
What I said is that the transmission of sexual diseases is up dramatically in this country, especially among teenagers.
So what you're saying is, but what you're saying is, I let my son's friends...
You take care of your raging hormones.
You know, Alicia, I let my sons see a little bit of early morning dew, but you're out there spreading a dose. So I don't know who is worse. And
what?
I am really shocked by what you're...
Wait.
I am showing my son's friends a little bit of my... She's out there. You're talking about chlamydia and spreading.
Yes, I'm talking
drip.
About the serious part of this end. You may show a little bit of rear end, but you know what? They say your rear end. I mean, that is just, I mean...
You know something, Alicia? You are out there giving men the drip. I am simply showing them a little bit of the early morning dew. Who's worse?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Bobby Dooley now joins us. You remember that from... Actually, that was... Tuesday.
You know something, Phil? I do recall that phone call. That woman was so obnoxious. She completely misunderstood what I was saying. The tenor of her voice, the amplitude, the modulation of it, the screeching nature of her voice. I can well imagine a man in the middle of the night hovering over her, holding a pillow over her face, and thinking, just for the courage, it would be all over. I would be free.
All right, I get my general idea of... Okay, so you're talking about murdering her.
Yes, that's it.
Then get to it. Going to turn it into a freaking Shakespeare tome. Now, you are having the Wintertacular...
Yeah, that's right, Phil.
And tell us all about it.
Yeah, Phil, the Wintertacular is coming up on this Saturday, and we're going to have our fashion show. There'll be food and games, balloons and clowns for all the people, free parking... our Wintertacular, although, is closed to any non-residents. So if you don't live at Western Estates, don't come. And
well, then you didn't have to come on my show, did you?
What?
What are you doing on my show announcing it?
Anybody that lives there, I want to let them know.
Oh, well, great. What, do you got 200 homes? You could have passed out a flyer, come on my radio show.
I came on your show, Mr. Henry, to demonstrate the song I'll be doing for the Wintertacular debutante ball. As we bring out our young ladies.
All right, Laura, we'll do that when we come back, okay?
Whatever. Jesus.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. 1-800-449. I didn't mean to yell at her, but... All right, we'll hear Bobby Dooley sing the song that she's going to be doing at the Wintertacular coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And I'm back here with Bobby Dooley. And now coming up, and I don't want to do a big long thing here, Bobby, because I have other things I got to do.
You know, that is so rude. I was told by management that I'd have time to...
You can sing the song. Yeah, I just want to move on. Anyway, you're going to have the Wintertacular.
We're having our Wintertacular, yeah. And it's this weekend. Am I going to be allowed to sing my song or not?
Yes, ma'am, you are, and I'm sorry I said that there would be limited time.
Anyway, the Wintertacular will feature hot dogs, coleslaw, fashion shows, balloons. You know, what do you want me to tell you? It's the usual thing. Now, as we bring our models out, Phil, I will come out first holding the microphone. I'll be wearing a silver cocktail dress with heels to match, pearls by ZZ Top. And anyway, and then you'll hear the music start, and this is my statement. I think this is really where women are at. La, 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 la. I listened to that slut Margaret sing on your program, and...
She's bad.
Oh, God, here we go.
You keep saying you've got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. And then I'll be swaying back and forth.
You've been a mess.
And then another, oh,
where you shouldn't have
been messing. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking. And that's just what they...
Bug off. Tell me, I'm going to go out to the Winter-tacular and hear that? I haven't missed a Winter-tacular, man. It's never been that bad. What do you mean coleslaw and mashed potatoes, man? I want to see those fashion shows. The Winter-tacular at Western Estates is always solid, baby. The Western Estates Winter-tacular tickets available at Ticketmaster. All right, we're back. Don't forget the best of the Phil Henry 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, is available online, or you can call 1-877-616-7445. Here is Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Fine.
Oh, man, you're usually right on everything you say.
Sure. Whatever.
I don't know about this thing you were talking about, though, about being able to torture people. I think that what happens if, let's say, that you looked like the guy in that photograph.
And no, I'm talking about when the police are... When the police are as certain as they can be, and they've received a court order from a judge that allows them to use coercive interrogation. I'm not just talking about some guy going on a hunch. I am saying they've caught the guy, and they believe this is the guy. And they know that there is a child missing who could be in imminent danger of dying, and this guy has the information to lead them to this person for her safety.
It just seems like cops always think that the guy they've got is the right guy, though.
What TV show are you watching, man? I don't know what world you're talking about. I'm talking about when the police believe and are certain. I mean, how can you say they're certain? Yes, there has to be a trial, right? But for instance, just as a for instance, okay? Those two girls that were kidnapped, I don't know if you remember, it was back about a year ago, and they were taken out here to Riverside and raped?
Yeah, and that law worked and got them back.
Okay, the law worked and got them back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
People
well, you know, let me tell you what. Let me tell you what. Is this girl back yet?
She's not back.
Is the law working?
There's no law.
Yeah, there ain't no law, is there? So how about we have a law where we take this guy who's not talking, won't say a word, and you get him to talk. Otherwise a kid dies, and then you go to bed and I go to bed, Kevin, with our conscience clear, and we feel just wonderful that our precious little system of law is upheld. And meanwhile, some kid's dead.
But what happens to all these people that ultimately they're...
I can't hear you, man. Get into the phone. Come on. What are you saying?
They're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah, we're going to make some mistakes. Yeah.
And what happens to all the people that they made these mistakes with that have been tortured?
Wait a minute. All the people? All the people? All the people?
All the people?
All the people. All the people. How many are these going to be?
I don't know, but the cops make mistakes.
All right, Kevin, I tell you what, man. You let a kid die because your conscience is going to be bothering you about some scumbag who's got a lot of jail ugly on him, didn't get his rights. All right, because your conscience is bothering you about that. I'm talking about a legal process by which a judge signs a court order where they present compelling evidence. This is the guy, Your Honor, and we've got to get information out of him. Someone could die. Otherwise, we can all sit around with our thumb up our ass and debate how marvelous it is to live in America that we don't torture people.
All right, you're
and another
worry
kid
about
dies.
The guys they're going to catch. I just worry about the guys that aren't going to die.
I ain't worried about any of them. I'm not worried.
Guys out there.
No, I'm talking about. Look at. Do we not have a system now by way where we get a court order for wiretaps?
We do.
I mean, there are ways to go about these things. This is all born of the fact that there's a kid gone, and the police. Everything I'm reading, the police know this is the guy. Now, I'm not just going to, for the time being, trust the police know this is the guy. They can't get any information out of him. He won't talk. On the advice of his attorney, he won't talk. Seconds, if not even that much, separate them from the possible death of a human being. The police are sworn to protect, and they need to get information to find the whereabouts of this child. This isn't a matter of getting their kicks. beating up a guy. This isn't a matter of them getting their jollies torturing a man. This is a matter of the only possible way of getting information to save a life.
Well, you might be right. Maybe they'll call it the Hendry bill or something, but...
Jesus H. I mean, you know, this is why most of the time I don't take phone calls. It ain't about me, man. You know, I don't care. I don't give a crap. You know, let them kidnap every kid in the world and let them kill every kid. What do I care? It's just a suggestion. All I know is I saw, you know, the mother was, you know, going nuts. And there's a little kid out there, if she's still alive, probably scared to death. I'm not going to sit here and enjoyably chit-chat with you, and it ain't about my life, and it isn't about my show, and it's not about my ego. I don't give a damn. You know, one way or the other, man, I'm going to come to the end of this shift. I'm going to go home to my children, just like you guys will, and we'll all just sit there in a smug way and go about our lives, you know? I said last night, as a kid missing, people say, well, we need more police. Oh, we need more police. You know what we need? We need more men and women. That's what we need. We are damn short on them in this country. I'll tell you that. Boy, are we shy on people with a pair big enough to want to intercede on behalf of another human being. Even if, like, and this is a shock, even if it isn't your own kid. I know that comes as a major shock to the system that we would actually go out of our way for somebody other than a member of our own family. I guess that's what makes me a Democrat, huh? A liberal, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, bottom line, I know only too well how we get things done in this country. It's very slowly. You know what? Nothing gets done in any society, but especially in America, nothing gets done without a lot of people getting insulted, a lot of people being called names, and a lot of people hanging on desperately to the past. America is a country that comes by way of change very slowly in comparison to the rest of the world, if you want to think about it. The good news is that we tackle issues that other countries don't want to tackle. You know, look at how much we're screaming and crying and holding onto the lamppost of September the 10th, thinking that it's all just been a bad dream, and that the war in Iraq is ultimately unnecessary, and that Bush is ultimately a liar. Even, you know, he made it all up. It's like that's what a kid wants their parents to say when, you know, bad news. You know, mommy isn't coming home. Are you kidding? Are you joking? Is this real? He's lying. Daddy's lying, isn't he? He's lying to us. It's all a bad dream. We're going to wake up, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Ain't going to happen, man. It is not going to happen. So here comes this kid, picked up off the back of a car wash, and, you know, most probably she's dead. Whatever, I guess. It was just a suggestion, but it certainly isn't about me or my freaking stupid, ridiculous, unnecessary radio show, or any other radio show for that matter, or any other casual, idiotic conversation that takes place on radio shows. And if I tell you what, that last call, if I never take another phone call again on this radio show, it'll be worth it if I don't get a call like that again. Just some tired, bored guy who's a radio groupie and wants to hear his voice on another talk show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, there's an amusing resume going around the internet. It's the George Bush resume. It's just so funny. George W. Bush, White House, USA. Education and experience, law enforcement. I was arrested in Kennebunkport, Maine. And military. I joined the Texas Air National Guard and went AWOL. College. I graduated from Yale. You know, the people that spend their time sending these emails... Hey, you know what? It's because of this resume I'm voting for Bush. Thank you very much. The guy's been busted, so have I. We've got something in common. Good. I want a president that's seen the inside of a jail cell. Thank you very much. Do you know that we have an enormous number of Americans that spend their time behind bars or have at one time or another? Do people even know what the inside of a jail cell look like? Many people, do you? Do you know, for instance, what the process is? The trustee coming around with breakfast? You know, the substation you're taken to, the watch commander you got to deal with, huh? Whether you have cigarettes, whether you don't have cigarettes, when you go to the shower, when you don't, while you're waiting for your bail, where are you waiting for your bail? When you go to court, when you don't go to court, when do they transfer you over to county jail, or when do they transfer you over to the big city jail, or just from the holding substation? All this stuff. Do you know anything about this, huh? You ever been booked? You ever been mugged? My president has. That's why I'm voting for his ass. Because he's not some punk. I ain't going to vote for a punk like John Kerry. I'm going to vote for... Here you go. Now I'll really get down on their level. Now I'm going to sink right down to their level. Why would I vote for John Kerry, who shot innocent Vietnamese? Ooh, look out, baby! Now we're rocking and rolling, baby! Come on! Why would I vote for John Kerry, who butchered up little tiny Vietnamese men and women? Why the hell do I want to do that? Big tough guy in his Navy PB running around the Mekong Delta, machine gun and everything in sight. What a punk. Why would I vote for John Edwards? That guy's a Bill Clinton waiting to happen. I swear to God, and I don't want to get into it, but have you seen his wife? Nah, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Why would I want to vote for Howard Dean? I mean, he's a babbling, blithering idiot. I told you that back in August. Nobody wanted to believe me then. Now you know. Why would I want to vote for... Oh, I don't know. Who else is left? Wesley Clark, who's mentally unstable. Who is mentally unstable. I think he's mad. That kind of crazy. Empty suit Wesley, man. Wesley E.S. Clark. As an empty freaking suit. So, Bush... He joined the Texas Air National Guard and went AWOL. Hey, join a club, man. Whole lot of guys were draft dodging back during the... As a matter of fact, it is no secret to anybody that was alive at that time that joining the National Guard and joining the Coast Guard was a way to avoid service in Vietnam. That is a... Dan Quayle did it. A lot of guys did it. A lot of people I know did it. A lot of people you know did it. He graduated from Yale... Hey, he graduated. Half of the numbskulls that are voting in this, that just vote out there in general, haven't seen the inside of a college. They wouldn't know a college from a gas station. He ran for U.S. Congress. See, this was what I'm not reading. He graduated from Yale with a low C average. Okay? Some people don't even get out of school. Like, for instance, oh, I don't know, some of the dumbasses in Hollywood that are saying don't vote for Bush, like George Clooney. That dumbass couldn't even make it through his sophomore year in college, could he? Some other dumbbell like Martin Sheen, I don't even think he went to college. I think Susan Sarandon went to the Vassar Vaseline School for overblown actresses, and then somebody else went to whatever. Gonna make fun of this guy's education? At least he went to Yale and graduated. Graduated from Yale. I ran for U.S. Congress and lost. You know what kind of a patriot it takes to run for Congress? Somebody who cares about their country while the rest of us sit around and do nothing? Okay? All right. I began my career in the oil business in Midland, Texas in 1975. What's wrong with that? I bought an oil company but couldn't find any oil in Texas. The company went bankrupt shortly after I sold all my stock. So? A lot of guys fail at business. Macy went bankrupt 8 times. You ever shopped at Macy's? Ooh, got you again. How do you like me now? How do you like me now? Raise the roof off this sucker. I bought the Texas Rangers baseball team in a sweetheart deal that took land using taxpayer money. Oh, whatever. Now we're getting into opinion. Oh, man. You had me. You had me for a while there with your wit and wisdom, but now you're laying on the opinion, baby. With the help of my father and our right-wing friends in the oil industry, including Enron CEO Ken Lay, I was elected governor of Texas. With the help of my father and our right-wing friends in the oil industry. How many people listen to me right now have not received help, perhaps, from a father or a mother in business? That's not unusual. Our right-wing friends in the oil industry. How many people who want to get into the same business as their father haven't received help from their father and his associates, and maybe they have a political point of view that is right-wing or left-wing? Is that unusual? And then including Enron CEO Ken Lay. Well, right there. Bad. Yeah, the guy's a crook. Hey, sometimes along the way in life, you run into crooks. You know, Jesus said, wherever the least among you is, I is too. Just remember that. Now, he says, I changed Texas pollution law to favor power and oil companies. Megan, you know, I asked this guy this question the other day on the air, and I never did get a straight answer. I said, let me ask you a question. What do you call big business? Guy says, I'm a Democrat. I said, well, so am I. He says, no, you're not. You like big business. I like big business? I don't know when I've said that I like. I don't mind big business. Some businesses are big. You know, the guy that makes under $100,000 a year that this one Democrat said the Democratic Party represented, I said, I hate to break the news to you, but he don't always want to make under $100,000, man. He wants to make more than $100,000. Are you saying that when a man improves himself in this country that he's no longer a Democrat, he should become a Republican? Are you saying that if a small business joins with another small business and another small business and a business organization to try to help empower their business, to try to help their businesses along and their employees, that suddenly they're big business and they're to be disrespected and not, not helped? What are you talking about? Do you cats even know what it is to be a Democrat? I do. I know exactly what a Democrat is. I know exactly why I'm a Democrat. But 95% of the Democrats listening to me right now couldn't spell Democrat if you spotted them to crat. 1-800-449-8686. You want to know why? Because they're full of it. Crap, that is. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, what's going on with Janet Jackson? They say she's not going to be in the Grammys, but I don't believe it. I think she'll be in the Grammys. I think that there's going to be a last-minute rescinding, and there's going to be a meeting of the minds, and there's going to be a reconciliation, and there'll be an apology, and there'll be a need to move on, and there'll be all of the usual Hollywood stuff. It'll all take place. Janet Jackson, meanwhile, how much money, how much momentum, how much of everything do you think her career has benefited from all of this? And I'm not saying that she did it on purpose, but anyway, the reason I'm bringing all this stuff up is they're going to cut out a shot of an old lady's boob on ER because of all of this. ER apparently was going to show some old woman's breast. Why? Why do you want to do that? Thanks for warning me. I guess it kind of makes it, now they're not going to do it. Yeah, well, not for the reasons you think, though. It's ain't exactly going to be the same thing now, is it? Look at that. We've got real nipple there, huh? How about that, huh? Yeah, well, did you see Janet Jackson's? You know what? I think we're pulling just a last-minute change. We got a network note on that boob. I'm not talking about the director. I mean the one that... We're going to take that boob out of there. Look, I don't care about the boob, man. I'm just saying, give me a heads up. Don't you get it? Don't you understand? Just give me the heads up that it's going to be there so the kid won't be around a TV set. These guys, man, are so thick. It's like you're talking to a Mason block wall. What the hell is wrong with these people that's at the TV shows? We ain't saying don't show a boob. We're saying give us a little heads up on this stuff, man, so I don't have my 12-year-old daughter sitting next to me. Is that okay with you? And don't give me this bullcrap about if I don't like it, I don't have to watch it. You know what? I'll watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it. You guys, you can, you know, it's television. It's the broadcast medium, we're told. There are standards, we're told, okay? Why don't you be consistent? I happen to work in the broadcast business. I know how much we got our ass kicked here, so just be consistent. You can put all the boob, all the nipple, you can put all the ass, you can put everything you want on there. In fact, I welcome it. In fact, I would love it. In fact, it would make me want to watch TV. For the first time in my life, I would turn the TV back on and actually be interested in what's on there instead of the dull crap you put up there now, okay? Speaking of dull crap, I'm going to be doing a little segment on the Dennis Miller Show. Anyway, I wanted to move along and say, well, I wanted to get the plug in. I don't mean dull crap. The Dennis is dull. I mean, never mind. I am going to do a little tiny three-minute thing. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I taped it this week for the Dennis Miller Show on CNBC. Although they said it was going to be on this week, and now they're saying it'll probably be early next week. Given all the crap that I've given to NBC over the last, say, year and a half, I doubt if it'll make the air at all. In fact, I'm betting right now that Janet Jackson sees the light of day before Phil Henry does. I got big dollars that said Janet Jackson makes the Grammys before my ass is ever on an NBC show. So what do you think of them apples? I'm kidding around all you guys over at the Dennis Miller Show. Very nice guys. Great cats. And, you know, I said something to some people when I was doing my pilot. We were taping the pilot, and that animated thing. I said, hey, I'm going to do a thing on the Dennis Miller Show. And all those people in there, which are kind of like the left-wing Hollywood people, they're like, that's really great, Phil. Can we move on now? Do you want lunch? So anyway, they're going to show an old lady's breast on ER, and gee, that's swell. But then after they got the bad scene with Janet Jackson, they don't want to show the old lady's breast. So let me say it again on behalf of every thinking American. We didn't say don't show a boob. We're saying tell us you're going to show us the boob. Put it on in an hour, maybe appropriate, so that our kids aren't watching it, man. Don't you get it? ER ain't going to show it now. It ain't about the boob, and as boobs go, or breasts, or nipola, as they say in Greece, Janet Jackson's is far more interesting to look at than whatever you got going, ER. I can't even imagine. It says an elderly woman's breast. Hot dog. Staying home for that. You know what, we're going to be titillated by that? I mean, in the proper context, the breast of an elderly woman only conjures really, quite frankly, well, in a medical context, I should say, the breast of an elderly woman only conjures one thought in my mind, doesn't it? You know, it's like, it's a thing about breast cancer, right? If it was an elderly woman's breast on, say, oh, I don't know, designing women, then it's another one of their group scenes, another one of their group sex scenes. The ones that Betty White always had her freaking skirt up above her head. Jesus, you know, it's disgusting looking at reruns of that show. Really, no, not the Golden Girls, that's the one I'm thinking about. Designing Women, I loved. When Delta Burke got going, nothing was going to stop her, man. The foundation of the house moved. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. But that Golden Girls, if I had to tune into that show one more time and look at Estelle Getty and Betty White doing it right there on a couch with my children watching... God! Really foul. How come they let that happen and they get all bugged about Janet Jackson? How come they let Golden Girls go on year in and year out? Fetid pornographic scene after the next. Now, there's a high school in California that is saying, MTV, why don't you go take your whole network and park it sideways up the ass of that executive who said they got punked at MTV by Janet Jackson. What's that dumbass's name again? Festoon or Furlorn Fercucci? No, Freston. Tom Freston, chairman of MTV Networks. Oh, my God, another chairman weighing in. He said that he welcomed the FCC's investigation. He said, we were ripped off. We were punked by Janet Jackson, Freston said, not missing a chance to promote one of his shows. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not on the air anymore? God, these guys, man, they'll get you coming and going. So, you see, so they don't want MTV around there, right? And the message is the same message, but they don't get it. The message is this. It ain't about being scandalized by a woman's breast. A lot of us have actually seen a woman's breast. Many women have seen women's breasts, in fact. It would probably surprise Mr. Festoon of MTV, or Freston, or Frestcock. I can't read that. I need my glasses. It looks like dumbass. Tom Dumbass. It would probably surprise him to know that many women have actually seen their own breasts. So it isn't that. It's that when I got my 12-year-old daughter, and here's exactly how it came down for me. My 12-year-old daughter, why did she do that? I said, well, you know, it's Janet Jackson. She's doing something crazy. Hey, let's go get a Coke, a Fresca, whatever the hell we got. Yeah, but why did she do that? And you can hear her voice trailing away. See, that's what I got to deal with. Thanks a lot, CBS. And I ain't blaming Janet Jackson. I don't blame her at all, man. She's an artist. She does what she does. She's talent. She's wild. She's crazy. I hear she's got more boyfriends than Carter's got liver pills. She's all that. I don't blame Justin Timberlake. He's got a career that is in desperate need of resuscitation. I'm kidding. He's getting himself 5 Grammy nominations. That's pretty sweet. So the kid's hot. He's what? That's why we watch these people. I blame the guy at the very top. But having said all of that, man, you can show it again and again and again and again and again. As long as you give me that little heads up you usually do, which is the following may contain some bullcrap and you may want to have, you may vomit when you see it. So turn it off or whatever they say, right? The following contains material that sensitive people may vomit looking at. Please turn it off and we'll tell you when to turn it back on. How we're going to do that, we don't know. But they didn't want to do that, so I suggest you do that, and then you can show all the nudity that you want, man. You can show Anthony Edwards' hairy ass for all I care, man. I won't be watching that night. I'll be taking, I'll be trying to line up pairs of socks that night, but I'm sure it'll be just a thrill and a half. Probably about almost as stimulating as when Dennis Franz shows his big stupid ass. Don't you like that NYPD Blue, the first nudity they showed was a guy's ass? And it was like really, a high-rated night? What's that tell you? They say that British men are gay. Let's talk about the American male populace for just a second, if you don't mind. All right, coming up, news that even hockey players can understand, a public service for the National Hockey League. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. It's The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
In a continuing effort to serve the American and North American people, The Phil Hendry Show and Bud Dickman Productions, in association with NBC News, presents news that pro hockey players can actually grasp and understand. Here now from our studios in New York, Bud Dickman.
Hey, you, good evening. Janet Jackson showed her boob. Now she's not going to be on the Grammys. A man said that he's mad at her because she didn't say she's going to whip it out.
A Bud Dickman editorial. Now back to news.
A lady that showed people how to take the smell out of your bathroom after you take a dump, and her name is Martha Stewart, she's in trouble. And a guy that used to work for her said she's bad.
Now more news that pro hockey players can understand, Bud Dickman.
In the Massachusetts country, gay people, those are boys and who like that. Guys,
turn it off. Are you going to do it or aren't you going to do it?
I don't know.
You want to be a newsman, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, then read the story like an adult and don't snicker. What are you laughing at, Bud?
Talking about guys. Do it in each other's butt.
All right, that's it. I don't want to do it.
I want to do it.
No, you're not going to do it anymore. Get out of here. Punk.
Can I do the promo?
What promo?
For the Radical Accidents.
Go ahead.
And join me Monday, all y'all, because I'm gonna be doing the NASCAR's most radical accidents. Yep, boy.
You know, you come back and do this, man, when you don't giggle like a child, okay?
You like reading about gay men. It turns you on.
Get out of here, Bud. Sorry. He wanted to do the news. He wanted to be a big newsman, and he can't get out the story about gay marriages. What a little putz. So are you in favor of gay marriage? I think the whole thing stinks. What do you think about that? Does that make me a bigot? No, I don't think it stinks. I think it's perfectly fine. But I got to tell you, I understand some of these guys that don't like it. Because I was trying to explain it today this way. Because I know if you hear that somebody's against gay marriage, I know you think it's because they're homophobic. There's a possibility they're not. There's a possibility. In fact, there's probably more than a possibility. There's probably a probability. There's possibly a probability. I don't think there's probably a possibility, though. But I think that there's a possible possibility that there's a probability that, I forget, that gay marriage is viewed negatively not because of homophobia, but because of the human race's addiction to symbols. You know, I'm always talking about this. Oh, Jesus, here goes Henry again with his big freaking thing about, just listen to me for a second, all right? And you'll understand the game. You'll be way ahead of the game on this gay marriage thing. In fact, once you hear what I got to say about this, you'll understand it like 97% of the people in the world don't. Here's what it's all about. Everything's a symbol. The clothes you wear, the way you wear your hair, the car you drive, the house you live in. We drape ourselves in symbols because symbols are what tell us and the world what we are all about, what we believe in. And not only are they things we're familiar with, they're really important to our culture and to our society in general. We wear wedding rings. We take our vows and we register our vows as a man and woman before the community. That's not just to be legal in terms of the money. That's because you're saying this to the tribe in general. The kind of car we drive, the kind of sunglasses we wear, we drape ourselves in symbols to show the kind of people that we are. The Nazis used symbols. The Russians used the sickle and the hammer. The American flag. Why do you think we're so emotional about the American flag? It's a symbol of something. We go nuts over symbols. We'll kill people. We will kill people, literally, if our symbols are messed with. Our flag, flip somebody the finger. Is that something that is going to hurt you? What, I mean, I put the middle finger to some guy. Why will some men kill, I mean literally kill, if they get a middle finger from another guy? It's not going to hurt him. That thing symbolizes something. It symbolizes profound disrespect. Profound disrespect. So marriage symbolizes something to straight people. Now, hold on for a minute, because I got one that's going to make it really clear. What if tomorrow Jewish people said, you know what? We like the cross, the Christian cross. We want to make that the symbol of our faith, too. Well, wait a minute. You can't. Well, why can't we? We think it's a wonderfully beautiful symbol, and it's just great, and we want it to symbolize Judaism, too. But that's ours. Well, what are you? Are you anti-Semitic or something? No, we're not anti-Semitic. We said that belongs to us. That's our thing. You see what I'm saying? It's a symbol that belongs, and whether it's right or it's wrong, I honestly don't know, but I get that it's not being anti-Semitic to say you may not use the cross as a symbol for the Jewish faith, any more than it's homophobic to say you may not use marriage as a way of creating union between two gay people. Marriage is the straight thing. And you cats have to come up with something else. Now that's it, in a nutshell. And so when you hear people say, it's kind of our thing, it's kind of our club, you know, you hear a lot of dopey people say that, but I kind of get it. Now, does that make me against gay marriage? Wow, I hate to say that I'm against gay marriage, because then people are going to say that, oh, you hate gays. I don't. I just understand what people are saying, straight people say, when they say, well, marriage is kind of a straight thing, why don't you guys come up with your own thing? I don't know what that would be. Your own symbol. Why do we have to come up with our own symbol? Why can't we have your symbol? Because it's ours. It's just as simple as that, you know. And now, civil union gives you all of the... Am I right or am I wrong that the civil union gives you all the rights that married couples have? You know, the death benefit, insurance coverage, child custody, this kind of thing. It just civil union sounds pretty stark and spare. It doesn't sound rich and full and celebratory like marriage. But to say that, you know, we want to legalize gay marriage is like saying, you know, we want to appropriate your symbol for our thing. We want to, if we're Christians, we want to take the Star of David now and say that that's the symbol for our religion, because we really dig that symbol. It's really cool looking, and it says a lot, you know. We don't need the cross, man. It's about death, and it's like, you know, what about the Star of David? And the Jewish people say, what are you cats talking about, man? You had the cross for a long time. Okay, well, we want to have ours. We're going to take yours, too. No, you don't get to. Whoa, look at you being petty. Look at you being petty. What are you, against Christians? No, we're not against Christians. Just get your own thing, man. I don't care. Get your own thing. Oh, okay, so it's like that, huh? And people go nuts, and people get crazy, and they get violent, too. That's how profoundly important symbols are. Wedding rings, jewelry, ear piercings. Today, we live at a time in history where man is now tattooing himself again. We haven't done that for hundreds of years. In European tradition, going back thousands. Today we now begin, we're tattooing ourselves. Why? These are all symbols. We adorn ourselves with these things. Thank you. Now all of you get out. Miss Johnson, I'd like you to stay because I'd like you to help me correct papers, all right?
Sure.
It's Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right. Well, let's take a phone call, okay? Okay. Hey, what do you think about this Janet Jackson deal? That nuts or what? Imagine that. Taking her boob out, showing the whole world. I don't get that at all. It's goofy. Okay. Well, I don't know anything about it. You know, I'm just a regular guy. Support my president, help go over to Iraq, help me just grease countless of those ragheads and deal like that. Hey, you're up, Big Tim.
Yeah, Tim, how you been, man?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Maybe I ought to finish that.
All right.
So,
we'll be right back.
Let's go to Pam. Here's Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
Are you Pam?
Yes, I'm Pam.
Let's go to Pam.
Let's do. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
What is happening to you?
What do you mean? I don't look good or something?
No, your voice is the same, but your brain has been switched with someone else's brain, like a right-wing bigot's brain.
Oh, please.
No, I'm serious.
Grow up.
No.
Now, let's have an adult conversation. Don't start calling people names.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call
right-wing
you a name.
Right-wing bigot.
Well, you've been sounding...
What did I say? What? Give me an example of bigotry, and then give me an example of right-wing.
Well, okay, I will do that. First of all, you seem to be so much behind Bush. Why are you suddenly becoming, like, thinking like a Republican like that?
Now, wait a minute. I gotta start slow here,
okay.
All right? I'm going to start real slow.
Okay.
I believe in the president's approach to combating terrorism.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What nationality were the hijackers? What country...
Are you going to let me talk? Or are you going to start preempting everything I say with a question just to make a point? Right?
Well, I was trying to make a point.
No, you asked me a question.
Go ahead. It's your show. I'm sorry.
No, you know, it doesn't make any difference what I say. You're still going to think I'm a right-wing bigot, but at least let me, you know, explain my bigotry and my right-wingedness.
Okay.
I'm a Democrat.
I'm
a free-thinking man,
so
and
I
don't...
Well,
that remains to be determined, but in any event, you know, I totally understand the president's approach to the war on terror. I do not believe viewing the events of 9/11 as being a singular strike by a singular organization as anywhere approaching intelligent. It's like saying
yeah,
that it's the Ku Klux Klan that's really the threat, but the white Aryan resistance, we don't have any reason to believe that they hate black folks. This is ridiculous.
But wait.
You know, the terrorists Wait. Wait a second.
No, let me talk
God
to.
Bloody damn it.
I'm your caller.
You're making me mad and stuff. One more thing. Just one more thing. Today in Iraq, please, are you kidding? Al-Anwar Islam, which is associated with Al-Qaeda, is blowing places up. Al-Qaeda's running through that country. Is there any doubt in your mind now that Al-Qaeda's in Iraq?
Absolutely there is.
There's a doubt that Al-Qaeda's in the country?
Well, Saddam Hussein told his little supporters to attack foreign fighters. That's Al-Qaeda.
Wait a minute.
That just
is there any doubt that Al-Qaeda's in the country is what I asked you.
Well, maybe they're infiltrating it, but that doesn't mean
they're in the country and they're attacking Americans. Boom. And
fine.
No, Saddam Hussein didn't.
Saddam Hussein
did not say attack Al-Qaeda. Hello? She hung up because she's pissed off. Is one of these people who calls up to make their point. She's really mad because I'm not going down the I'm not going down the Democrat road the way I'm supposed to. I'm taking a couple of side trips. Just going to have to get used to it. You know, I ain't going down the old road, man, with all the rest of you Democrats. I ain't just loading in there, man, with Lori David and all of those lightweights back in New York there with their big fundraiser, okay? By the way, where are the meetings of regular rank-and-file Democrats? How come every time you read about a meeting, that fat-ass Michael Moore is showing up for one? And when he shows up for one, one thing is sure, man, there's got to be a sandwich tray somewhere. You know that for a fact, man. I saw that fat ass walking in last night. I go, oh, Jesus, man. You might as well kiss the freaking hors d'oeuvres goodbye. Imagine going to a fundraiser and he walks through the door. You better make a beeline for them crackers with the little square cheese. Because, brother. How come there's no, you know, rank and file strategy meetings among Democrats? It's all this stuff organized by these people who just don't get it. The politics of the old, I heard my very dear friend Rich Murata locally here in Los Angeles radio say, well, a lot of people don't want to vote for Bush because it's the politics of the old. The old? The politics of the old, as I see it in this particular election, are being professed by Democrats. They want to go back to the traditional old ways of dealing with international threat. Even though they said they believed that there were weapons of mass destruction and authorized the president to use force. John Kerry did. Tom Daschle did. And a host of other cats like Hillary Clinton, Madeleine Albright. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And the politics of the old is practiced by these guys. They go back on their word. They tell you that they never said it. They tell you that Bush is a liar, that he lied to them. And like they never said themselves that they believed the president could be a lot of things. He might be a huge horse's ass in terms of his intelligence. You call him a liar, though, man. You are really stepping it up. You must be desperate. I mean, you must be really desperate. But you know what? Joseph Goebbels said it. Goebbels was, of course, the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler, and he was the one that originated the phrase, lest anybody ask you. Tell a big enough lie often enough, people will believe it. And the big lie isn't that it's weapons of mass destruction. The big lie is that Bush lied. The big lie is that somehow the fault lies with the Bush administration and not an international organization of terrorists who are, you know, interconnected in terms of operation, training, etc. But if you're a pea brain and a naivete, one of these people who reads, I don't know, John Grisham novels, I guess, you want to see all the memos and the faxes and the phone records going back between these organizations to prove that they were, where were the hijackers from? Oh my God, is that the argument? Is that that's the argument I heard 3 years ago, man. They were from Saudi Arabia. Okay, are you in favor of us attacking Saudi Arabia? You want to go down that road? You want to start talking like that? Should we start sending the nukes into Saudi Arabia? How about that? Oh, well, I didn't say that, Phil. Yeah, I didn't think you did say that. As a matter of fact, when you know what it is you're saying, you give me a call. Would you like us to attack Pakistan? That's where Osama bin Laden is. And those of you who want to see some moral consistency who raised this argument, which is, why don't we attack North Korea? They're a threat. Okay, would you like us to do that too? Just exactly what are you guys talking about anyway? Tell me, what does John Kerry believe? He believed that there were weapons of mass destruction, that we should use force. Now he believes it was a mistake. Did he change his mind? If it was George Bush changing his freaking mind, they'd be all over him even more than they are right now. What exactly are they presenting? I'm a Democrat who's asking questions of my own party. I think it's important. I don't go along with the program, all right? A bigot? My God, I've had more interaction with people of color than probably anybody in the bloody Democratic Party. At least the guys running for president. As far as minorities go, as far as understanding minorities, hell, I've slept with a few of them. Some of them were guys. One of them was a guy by the name of Sharpton. And he didn't even tip me. These guys, you know what, this whole thing has just turned so sad. At a time and at a place when America should recognize very clearly what happened on that day, on the 11th of September, that the international threat of terrorism, as articulated by President Clinton, isn't going to go away. That all of a sudden a Democratic president who gave us that warning in 1999, all of a sudden as Democrats, because there's a Republican in the White House, we are so intellectually dishonest that we're going to now retreat from all of that and say we're against it because we just want to have a Democrat in the White House. I don't do that, man. I don't play that, okay? I'm not that cheap, baby. All right? I it's going to take a little more than $20 for me to spread. I don't know about the rest of you. I don't know how cheap your vote is, but mine, you know, it don't go for, just anything. But apparently some of you guys, the Democratic Party, they can buy your vote with anything. They got your vote, you know, I mean, you're just like lockstep, just the Stepford wives out there. You don't question, you don't ask what are you guys talking about anyway? What are you offering that's any better than what the president is offering in terms of international security, okay? That's number one. Why don't you ask those guys this question? Have you heard one Democrat say, I'm going to win the war on terror? Have you heard one Democratic candidate say that? I'm saying this as a Democrat, and I'm asking other Democrats, have you heard any one of those guys say that? They don't want to say it. You want to know why? Because it would sound too much like Bush. And the main thing they got to do is win the White House. They'll lie their way all the way to the White House, but you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, what they really mean, right? Yeah, I guess. Now, let's talk about domestic issues, which everybody claims to, you know, they say everyone cares about. Yeah, I'm looking at these polls. I don't know who's conducting them. On the one hand, Bush has it all over Kerry in terms of leadership, in terms of the polls. Then on the other hand, in terms of serving personal interest over public interest, they got Kerry would serve the public interest far more than President Bush. It's almost like whatever it is that's being pumped into your brain, people think. What makes you think Kerry would be more concerned with public interest than personal interest? John Kerry right now is being investigated rather strenuously for his having his hand out for campaign contributions, taking all kinds of PAC money, etc. This guy's had his freaking hand out for years. How do people get the idea this cat is above reproach in that regard? Why? Well, they've been told that. That's what. Like I said it earlier, I said to the guy last night, I'm going to say it again. Most Democrats can't even tell you what it means to be a Democrat. You know why? Because we've left the day long ago when it was an actual focused party philosophy. It has become everything to everybody. It doesn't mean a bloody thing. I don't align myself with half of this crap, and you shouldn't either. If you believe that the war on terror is correct, it doesn't make you a freaking Republican. And it doesn't make you a Bush lover. It makes you a free thinker. And I ain't met a Democrat yet that even comes close to qualifying in that category. Just because they're telling... Who? Where? Where's it written? I'm supposed to buy what? Yeah, there's $1 trillion debt. You're right. It's important. I don't mind paying taxes. I understand the need for a public to fund its government. And I'd even be willing to use tax dollars to defray the $1 trillion debt, okay? Do you mind if I ask exactly how that's going to happen? Or does that make me a Republican? Should I go get Lori David's stamp on it? Should I go get Michael Moore's big fat ass cheek stamped onto it so that everybody will see my passport stamped with Michael Moore's ass cheeks? That's what you ought to do. You get your Democratic passport, and how do we know you're a Democrat? Michael Moore sits on it. He dips his ass in ink and then sips on, sits on your passport. There. Huh? It's one hell of a big passport. You're right. You're carrying around what looks like a freaking poster board. Huh? How would that convince people? Come on, everybody. Remember that song? Hey, everybody, 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 you know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it one step at a time. But I know what I am. I'm a Democrat. That means I believe that government can be a major contributor to the well-being and health of a society. Government, man, is simply me and you. That's all it is. That's us. That's us. They work for us. They're us. They are us. All this stuff about separating us from government. No, 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 no. Not in America. Any other country you want to talk about, it's fine. Canada, Mexico, you want to say my government isn't me? I didn't vote for that guy. It's fine. In America, our government is us. Whether we voted for her or not, by God, it's us. Guy says he doesn't like my government. He don't like me because that is me. That's my functioning representative apparatus to help me affect changes in the country that I cannot do myself. And when it is used properly and it's working properly, we have things like going to the freaking moon. Head Start, Vista, and Peace Corps. And I mentioned all this stuff last night, from Social Security to unemployment insurance to the GI Bill and on and on and on, to one of the greatest armed forces the world has ever seen, to a public school system that can be the envy of the world. I believe in public schools. You mind if I ask you how we spend the money on them and where it goes? Or does that make me a Republican too? What our party needs more than anything else is refocusing on that goal, and all the rest of these jive-ass mothers, all these lightweights that are infiltrating with their personal, private, anti-hate Bush agenda. Man, they're wasting your time, people. They're wasting your freaking time. All they're doing is pulling it with white wine and cheese. All they are is standing around there with no pants on, yanking it with white wine in one hand and cheese in the cracker held by a waiter because their other hand's busy. And you don't need that stuff. You need truth. You need truth. At least you need a man who's honest enough to say, hey, by God, this is what I think is the thing to do. This is what I'm doing. These guys are talking out of both sides of their freaking face. No wonder Kerry had one of those makeovers. They got to widen his freaking mouth. He had a, did you hear that? He had a makeover? What's that mean? They made it so he could actually talk out of both sides at once, or does he have to kind of take a break? All right, I'm going to take a break because we're going to do our Doug Danger flashback, and who wants to hear me talk anymore? Because I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Finally, this note. And finally, this kicker. You know, I don't know how to say it. Anyway, the National Football League says that you can't join the National Football League unless you're 3 years removed from high school. I think is their rule. I don't know why they have that rule. I think it's to pay some lip service to education. Some dumbass sued by the name of Claret, but Maurice Claret, Claret or something. I think his mother named him after the gum. She did. She named him after the breath mint. And he's going to get to play because it violates antitrust legislation. A Phil Hendry Show opinion. You know, look, what are you guys in the National Football League talking about? What do you mean a guy can't play football unless he's 3 years out of high school? Are you guys still making like everybody that plays in your league's got a college education? Is that what is? Would you knock it off already? Quit treating everybody dopey. Look, you got all of our money. Isn't that enough? You also have to make fun of us, too? Why don't you knock off the pretense that you care about anybody's education and start drafting these guys right out of high school? Some of them could really use the bread. Otherwise, they're playing in college. They get hurt, and for what? For dear old Yale? Yeah, sure. This kid sued, and he won. And I hope if the National Football League is thinking clearly, which when it comes to dough, they, you know, they're never far off, that you begin to draft kids right out of high school, because you know and I know that the dumbasses you got playing in your league, very few of them have ever been inside of a classroom, let alone even be able to read. All right? So we know that that... And, you know, thank God ABC stopped with that whole halftime segment. Northwestern University, 30,000... You know how they do that bit at halftime? Like, you know, like anybody on the team actually has been to the school? So, coming soon, your high school senior could be in the NFL next year. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.